Okay.
Can we get this going?
It's not PC based anymore. It's just
right. So, meeting comes to order. We're missing one member. For our guests, we don't have an agenda. We do have an agenda. We have a written agenda. I have actually seen it, but we didn't print out copies because it literally says sewer plant. So our whole agenda meeting is this. So thank you all for coming. We'll introduce the four of us, and you can introduce the four of you all to us. I'm Andy Marin, and I am the chair of this committee this year, Utility Advisory Committee, City's Utility Advisory Committee. There are five of us. So.
And I'm Jeff Cantor. I've been on for 2 or 3 years.
Right. And I've been on for 6 years.
Emily Sato, and I just joined.
She was formerly a commissioner of Sewer District 7, which is the district of South Indian Island. So she has a little more knowledge than just showing up.
Oh. I'm Steve Johnson. I'm relatively new to the committee.
I'm Bob Eimstead with Corolla Engineers.
I'm Katie Isaacson with Katie Isaacson and Associates, and I was a sub to Corolla. I do the financial portion. And previously I've done financial pieces in Bainbridge, putting together the South Island Sewer LID, getting that system together, the water utility study, and so forth.
And I've run into Katie and other stuff like that.
Alita Bennett, and I'm with Corolla Engineers also.
Oh, Gashiel, Sarson.
I'm Chris Munter, I'm an engineer at the Public Works Department.
Barry Loveless, Public Works Director.
Okay, so how do you want to proceed, Barry?
Rick, you want to take public comment?
Oh, yeah, okay. Since on the agenda that is I've seen, it didn't print, it says that we can take public comment. So we have one public comment possibility. You want to speak now, Robert, or we'll give you something at the end if you want.
No, I'd like to hear the presentation.
That's good. So, how would you like to proceed?
They'll just go ahead and take it away.
We put together a little PowerPoint presentation. We can keep this pretty informal.
Yes, please.
So if you have questions along the way.
Just so you know a little bit of our own collective background, a couple of us were involved in the sewer area discussion last summer.
You're a familiar face.
Yes, were there. We were there for those couple of meetings. And then we have been looking forward to this for a long time. We've been talked about the sewer system. But a couple of us know about when you're going to talk about the pump stations and treatment plant. You've been there. I don't know, Steve, I don't think you've been to the treatment plant, have you?
No, I'm looking forward
Steve
to
Steve hasn't had
a tour.
Chance yet to do that. But the others of us have been there. I actually was involved with the 1994 upgrade of the plant, so we have some familiarity with that. But, and two of us have had an opportunity to read it, two of us have.
Okay. Well, we'll march through it. If you have questions, just jump in and we'll try to address those. We're going to, there's a fair amount of information that we have on the slides, so we can, you know, go over the top, hit the top of the waves, or we can dive into the deep water, whichever way you want to go on any one of the slides as we go along. So the general sewer plan, it is, I think, those of you that are on the GSP Advisory Committee saw this already, but there are requirements in the WAC for generally describing what all needs to be in a general sewer plan. That really is the kind of the framework for the scope that we developed. I'm not asking you to read that. So we have the basis of planning, policies, and criteria. We spent time working with the city, and in fact, a little bit of time with the committee talking about planning policies and criteria, and we spent quite a bit of time talking about the steady area that we'd be looking at. That was the main focus of that committee, is looking at the steady area. So I'm going to talk briefly about that. We have did some evaluation of your existing system, mostly based, we didn't go out and do TV videotaping of your sewer system, but we did look at your pump stations, and we evaluated the sewer system based on when it was installed and what type of pipe it is, because different types of pipe have different useful life. So we looked at the condition of your system, looked at your treatment plant as well. We did flow projections. We did monitoring of your system, which helped develop those flow projections. So we projected both dry weather and wet weather flow for your system. We developed the first model that you've had of your system here. So we put kind of the backbone, major pipes in the system.
So there wasn't a model before? This is the first model?
Yeah.
I don't know if there was ever a model.
We didn't have anyone to start with. Yeah. I know that.
Wow. So, that's great.
So we modeled the Winslow area. We didn't model the other steady areas, but they're much they're simpler system and they're fairly small. But the Winslow area we modeled. So we're going to go through that. Elena's going to talk about that. Based upon the flow that we have coming into the system and the capacity evaluation, the modeling that we did, we can determine whether you have adequate capacity in your system, both in the collection system, and we also took a look at the treatment plant.
You can come over here.
Okay.
We'll do quick
and Nancy Nolan, who's our...
Okay. I'm Bob Einstead with Corolla Engineers.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
I'm Katie Isaacson, and I do the financial element as a sub to Corolla.
And I'm Alina Bennett with Corolla.
So we looked at all of this and then developed a capital improvement plan and completed a financial analysis, which Katie's going to talk about. So.
Hey, Bob?
Yeah.
Wasn't Council originally presented with a larger menu? There were a couple things they withheld from what was proposed to them originally.
We had a larger scope originally, and some things were taken out of the scope for cost reasons, yes.
Yeah, I was trying to remember, was there a mapping element or something else?
Well, that's one of the things is the city had, didn't have the greatest information on their system, elevations, rim elevations, things like that, and so exact locations of where things were. So there was some talk about getting a surveyor out to survey the system and better locate where some of the facilities are. So that was one thing, but there were some other things we cut back the scope on as well, and I don't recall what all those were.
I think it was a base mapping.
How come that one happened?
Yeah, I think that was
that's
one.
What it was. I think there was a major base mapping that was going
to
be done.
What I did.
Yeah, the council was trying to look at that on a larger scale of other utilities as well.
So the basis of planning, you really have two service areas, the Winslow service area shown in green, and the south service area there that's shown, that goes, you're the treatment provider for the Winslow area, you're not the treatment provider, the county is for the for that south area then. So we talked quite a bit about this at the advisory committee. We looked at, I think we had, four meetings maybe, ultimately. Sure. More than what we started out with, but I think we had about four meetings.
I think I had three.
And one of the council after those 5 meetings.
Yeah, maybe. The things that group considered were land use planning and zoning, you know, areas where there might be densification that ultimately will need to be served by a sewer system, but potentially can't rely on septic systems or on-site systems. Areas with failing on-site septic systems, so we looked at those around the island, trying to identify areas in particular that were more problematic. Surface water quality protection, groundwater protection, cost, impacts on development and growth, and sewer facility capacity. That last one was basically we want to make sure that we don't grow all of this too much to exceed the capacity of our newly constructed treatment plant. There was some concern about that. So. This is the Winslow sewer study area. So the existing area is shown in black. The expanded boundary is shown in yellow. The common boundaries are obviously the dashed lines there. So you can see that it's a fairly minor, by my definition, maybe not by everybody on the island, but a fairly minor expansion of the potential expansion of the potential service area for the Winslow collection system and treatment plant. Any questions about that?
So that expansion was what the task force came up with? Was
yes.
Those few little spots?
If you go down to the bottom left corner, you can go back.
Challenging.
Yeah, it's just that part up by 305.
Well,
just
that one.
Here, there's that part there, and then a little bit over here.
And then on the beach over here, right?
Yeah, the beach.
What is that? Again?
The beach on the east, very far east.
Far east beach there.
Yeah. Something is on the west.
Yeah, there's that piece out by...
A little chunk here.
It's just the outline.
Yeah. What's that?
It's just little pieces on the outline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are neighborhood, Frank, neighborhood developments that are going on.
Where?
The part off of 305, is that Moran?
I think that was just based on zoning, wasn't it? Was that based on zoning?
Let's take a look at that map. But yeah, to answer the question directly, all of these resulted directly from the recommend. We showed a whole range of options, different areas that you might think about adding on for different reasons, and this is what the advisory group arrived at.
And this is just a potential expansion, it's not necessarily.
Yes, and so one of the things we were asked to look at is, if we expanded and served this area, would we still have adequate capacity at the treatment plant to deal with this area?
So the areas beyond the black line, there's currently on septic systems and so on.
Some type of on-site system.
Yeah, yeah.
Just out of curiosity, why was the decision made not to include beachfront on the North Shore?
Where are we talking about exactly?
Just that, not the wing point.
On wing point on the north.
This area right up through here?
All the way down to the point there, yeah.
Yeah. There was quite a bit of discussion about that.
I think it was more of a cost and a need. You know, it's really high bluff there, so it's not like they're right on the beach. And
we really couldn't, we asked, you know, county help, the ones that are permitting the septic systems and are supposedly monitoring their performance for their input on which systems were working properly and or failing, and they didn't have much constructive information on that.
Yeah, and this
there.
Is so different. This area is so different than
asking.
Pleasant Beach,
yeah.
where
asking.
It's so shallow. This isn't shallow. You're high bluff, and then you're really deep water out there. So
I think there was concern about, it's pretty much built out, but if sewer was available, then potentially for subdivision or additional density, there was concern about that, too.
Will we at a later point go into, or right now, what the capacity of the plant, why was it sized such that already we're facing capacity issues?
We're going to go into that.
You're going to go into
that. We'll talk about the treatment. So then we also have the South Island sewer area. This area here is served by sewer district number 7. These are the areas here in black that are currently connected to that treatment plant. These are the areas expanded, and here you can see that because of concerns about the performance of these septic systems and the likelihood that this neighborhood would want to connect, we expanded it up serving this area, and then these are not currently served, and it's fairly densely developed along here, so the thought was that
Mr. Johnson's house is right there.
Can I point it out here for you?
Yeah, you can pick it up right there.
And then we had a couple of locations mid-island, one here and one here, where there's the planning people thought that there was, they've been discussed as being kind of
their neighborhood service
Service centers, and there's going to be some densification in those areas and some commercial development.
So Island Center and Long Bay.
And so we, one of the things we looked at is how we would potentially serve these areas if they, if the city was providing wastewater treatment service to these areas. So obviously they're not contiguous with the rest of your service area. There's, you have options of either bringing them down long pipeline, pumping it down to your existing treatment plant, or providing some type of treatment locally. So we looked at those options. Here's your existing land use. This is based on information that we got from the city's planning department. And we also looked at 2035, what future land use is, and we looked at the 2035 flows. Even though this is what the planned densities are and the type of development you're supposed to have within the Winslow area 2035, we assumed that by 2035 this would all be connected to the system. Well, it's, you know, one thing we do when you do a plan is you never quite know the timing of things, so whether this is actually going to all be developed by 2035 or even 2025, but our assumption in the planning was that this would, you'd reach these densities in this development and this would all be connected to your treatment plant by 2035, which was our planning horizon for this sewer plant. We have, I think most of the South Island is low-density residential, but you also have a neighborhood, the Linwood Center, I think it's called the, I can't read that, but that's my recollection, is that it's the Linwood Center.
Yeah.
So you have some areas that are more densified with small commercial areas there. So, so that's existing land use, and then you can see that there's commercial and higher density residential expansion in this area. So, and all of this gets treated at the sewer district number 7 treatment plant. So. And then Mid-Island, existing land use, similarly to the others. And you can see that, particularly here, this is all commercial, and we have some densification, increased commercial activity over. I'll hand this off to you.
Okay, so I will be talking about the existing collection system and the condition assessment that we did. This map shows the existing collection system, and so all of the collection pipes throughout the system are in the brown. The dashed orange are the force mains. So the Winslow collection system has 14 main pump stations. The all of the different colors here are the tributary basin. So just to give us an idea of how the water flows from each basin and then eventually to the wastewater treatment plant.
This is figure 5.1, by the way.
Figure 4.1?
Well, except they've been kind of reduced, so they're a little bit hard to read even.
They are hard to read, but
people
four have the
figure 4.1.
It should be 4.1. Next to page 5.4.
Got it. Executive summary.
And then this is what the South Island collection system looks like. So you've got two long force mains from the Linwood Center pump station and the Rockaway Beach pump station to the Sewer District 7 plant. So we gathered information on the pipe material for each piece of pipe within the Winslow system, and this was used to help us get an idea of the condition of that pipe. So we're looking at, you know, what's the remaining useful life of the pipes in the sewer system.
So some types of pipe material, you put them in the ground, they have a useful life of 100 years. Other types of pipe material, you put them in the ground, they have a typical useful life of 30 years. We don't know exactly how those pipes are performing for the city, but this is based on kind of information collected from a lot of different municipalities. And it's not hard and fast. It obviously depends upon groundwater conditions and a number of other things.
But you can see that most of the Winslow area pipes are PVC, which has a long lifespan. And then the other thing that we looked at was the installation year. So, you know, by taking into account what type of pipe it was and when it was installed, we can get an idea of when it may need to be replaced. And so you can see that, you know, the oldest pipe, some of this black pipe here down in the kind of downtown Winslow area, was installed in the 50s. A lot of the pipe was installed in the 70s, and then some have been installed since then.
But compared to most cities, your system's fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing.
We also looked at South Island. So again, pipe material, got some PVC, ductile iron, HDPE. And then installation year, South Island is a newer system installed in the 90s and 2000s. So here is our analysis of the remaining useful life of the pipe. So we've combined Winslow and South Island all together here. Here we have the different pipe materials. And then across the top here, the different decades when they were installed. And so within the table, these are linear feet of pipeline for each of those categories. And so we can see that in the red here, this is pipe that has reached its useful life and needs to be replaced.
Potential.
Right. And then, so that's about 1.5% of all the pipe in the system. And then there's some pipe that probably will reach its useful life in the next decade or the next two decades. When we put it on this chart, what we're looking at is how many feet of pipe here and in what decade they are likely to need to be replaced. So we have in the orange, that's the 20-year planning period that we're looking at, so from now till 2035. And you can see that it's a relatively small amount of pipe that needs to be replaced within the planning period. However, when we start looking beyond the planning period, kind of that amount of pipe that needs to be replaced kind of ramps up. So it's something that the city will need to look at in the future, how they're going to budget for that.
So you can also see there's a fairly large unknown category, that there's quite a few lego feet that's unknown. So that's something the city can continue to work on, is to find out. You know, we went at the city hunting. Chris's nightmare job is hunting through all the records at the city, trying to find what type of pipe materials, as-built information, everything we could find, and some of it just never happens. So that's one thing the city can do, is continue to develop that database of information, get it in the GIS system.
Is that unknown? Is that all in the same area, or is it all over?
No, it's a little bit all over. I think it's probably more in certain areas, but
most of it's older, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, newer stuff, we have a good restaurant.
Why would you mix the South End in with the numbers for Winslow? Just all brand new down the South End.
Yeah, I don't think there was much in the South area.
Right. Nothing in the South area needs to be replaced within
right.
the planning period.
So what we wanted to do is give you an idea of what type of investment you need to make in your collection system, or potentially can make in your collection system. You can see during the planning period, you know, you need to probably start looking at some of your pipes, doing some videotaping of them to see what the, and this is an indicator, to see what the actual condition of those pipes are, whether you have cracks, whether you have water coming in the joints in those pipes, and whether they need to be replaced. If they do need to be replaced, then you need to make sure you're, you know, putting the pipe back in at the right size, all of that, thinking about future growth. Doesn't look like there's going to be a big problem there. But I guess the biggest concern is out in those future decades. You're, at some point here, you're going to have to ramp your program up. You've got a lot of money invested in those underground assets, and you're going to have to start spending some money over time, an annual ongoing program that you're going to have to invest in your collection system to kind of restore its useful life, so you keep kind of perpetual life of your collection system. It's easy to forget about those assets because you don't really, a lot of communities don't manage them until they become a problem. So they're kind of, we see a problem, we go out and fix it, but it's not very proactive. Generally, it's less expensive to be a little more proactive and kind of understanding where problems are coming and make sure you budget to take care of those things. So in the near term, it's not a big deal. You get out in another 30 years, 40 years, you're going to start spending, the city's going to start spending more money and replacing its existing system. So, and that's true for, you're in better, because you have a newer system, you're in better shape than most other cities, and most other cities haven't, a lot of them haven't invested anything in their collection system for 50, 70, 100 years, and so they're really behind, but they have a failing system across big portions of it, so.
This gives you an idea of where some of those pipes are that need to be looked at further to see if they have any condition problems. The red indicates that it may reach the end of its useful life in the next decade, and yellow is something a little farther out, so not the first 10 years, but the next 10 years after that, it should be kind of looked at to see what the condition is.
And this has nothing to do with the pipe capacity, simply their condition or estimate of remaining useful life should be a better way.
Next, we took a look at the pump stations. So again, this is just condition, not capacity. The STs on this chart represent short term, so from 2015 to 2025. LT long-term, 2026 to 2035. So here are the 14 different pump stations in the Winslow and also South Island system. And then we looked at various aspects of those pump stations. Like, you know, what's the age and condition of the pumps and motors and valves. And we see that 9 pump stations are likely to need upgrades within the short-term planning period. And another 4 pump stations within the long term. And then we also looked at, you know, the condition of not just the equipment in the pump stations, but the wet wells and the telemetry equipment, whether the generators may need replacement.
So are you identifying a combination of observed deficiencies as well as just end of useful life when you make
yes.
that evaluation?
These
this
were observed deficiencies.
Okay.
And this was, you know, based on feedback from the maintenance staff at the city.
Okay. What are the black check marks?
It's something that we haven't necessarily categorized as a short-term or long-term, but something that the city may want to upgrade the wet well controls or install city-owned generators. It's not something that we can necessarily say it needs to be done in the short term, but it's something that the city wants to work on over time.
So basically, if you're going to go in and do a refurbishment of that particular pump station, you probably want to add those items into that pump station to make it either more efficient, be able to control the flows better, whatever. So
take a moment just to explain the pump station. We haven't visited one of these, but do any of these operate, show my ignorance here, continuously, or do they operate intermittently, or do they operate in sort of emergency conditions?
No, most of them are fixed speed pump stations, and they cycle on and off. And so
electric power.
Wet well level comes up, reaches a certain level, first pump will come on. For a small pump station, you may only have one pump and then a standby pump for that particular thing, so that pump will come on, and then it will pump it back down again. If you have 2 pumps plus a standby, it will come up, one pump kicks on, level keeps climbing, the next pump will kick on, water level will drop back down again. So they'll cycle on and off.
So they're intermittent.
And then if you get a big storm event, or even wet weather sometimes here, they may be running almost continuously for periods of time. So it varies depending upon pump station.
But they run every day.
The
generators are for power outages.
Because they're not manned.
And do all of the pump stations have backup generation?
Yes.
Well, they look at that,
Yeah, all of the pump stations have some sort of backup.
Right. Except when you have mobile receptacles with that generator.
Well, that's even like a
right. So there are these four pump stations here. The generator is not city owned, and so that is something the city would. It would be more reliable if the city owned their own generator rather than relying on the school or what have you access to it.
One of them runs off the ferry terminal.
And then some of them there are two of them that do not have the mobile generator receptacle that.
So the city would have a mobile generator if there's a problem with
drive it out.
Take it out and
thank you.
But most of the generators are in pretty good shape, but may need to be replaced in the long term. But all right, so now we'll go into the flow projections, and this is we project the flow so that we can determine the capacity requirements of the system and see if we have any deficiencies in carrying that capacity. We did a flow monitoring program last winter from November through February where we installed flow monitoring equipment in four different manholes shown here. So these are the four different basins that were monitored. And there was also a rain gauge, so we're collecting data on rain and then flow through each of those manholes. And we use that data to determine what is the base dry weather flow that is being collected by the system. And so that's the flow when we do not have rain. And so we use that to then project the flow into the future. And so you can see this is the historical data and then projecting that base flow into the future. Next, we looked at wet weather flow. So throughout that monitoring period, we identified three main storm events or rainfall events, and we used that to calibrate our model, just to make sure that the model is responding the way that the actual system responded. This chart here just shows that this would be a 9-month storm or this is a 1-year storm. So the three storm events that occurred during our flow monitoring period were smaller than a 9-month storm, but yet large enough to calibrate the model. So the model does not include every single piece of pipe in the system, but it includes the major collectors. So here you can see the yellow shows which pipes were included in the system and which manholes were included. And then, as part of the modeling effort, we needed to come up with a design storm. What kind of storm event do we want to evaluate the system on to determine, if it can handle that storm? So based on historical rainfall data from the city and historical flow data into the wastewater treatment plant, we decided to use the design storm shown here, which was really three storms back to back.
And the shape of those storms actually comes from NOAA data. They give you a shape of different type storms for different areas in the state, and this is one that's typical for this area. That's why you see the similar shape for the three storms, although they're different intensities and different lengths, they're all basically the same shape when they come from that NOAA data.
Yeah, the city does a lot of rainfall monitoring, and so we were able to use that data and look at historical storms here on Bainbridge Island, and we saw this pattern of kind of two small storms and then a bigger storm. And so we used that as our design storm. So this data will be input into the model. And so one thing that the model helps us identify is inflow and infiltration. And so that's
just kind of back up here. I don't know what all people know about collection systems, but the dry weather flow, the amount of development that you have connected to your system doesn't typically drive the size of your collection system. What drives the size and the need for larger pipes in your collection system is what we call infiltration and inflow. And infiltration is water, groundwater, that gets into your pipe through cracks, defects either in manholes or in the pipe itself. Pipes can have cracks in them. They can have root intrusion, which causes water to come into the pipe. And then inflow are things that are improperly connected to the system. Roof drains, catch basins that instead of getting hooked up to the storm drain, got hooked up to the sanitary sewer. So each one of those has a different response. Inflow has a very quick response after the storm. I mean, that's water that's running off a roof or a house, a street, and going straight into the system. So you see it immediately as it pops up. Whereas infiltration, you may not even see it in the early storms in the year because your groundwater levels aren't up high enough. But as your groundwater levels come up, and as the storm hits and you get a lot of moisture in the soil, then you'll start to really see a lot of infiltration in your system. And the federal government, state governments typically require that you can't have overflows from a sanitary sewer system. They don't want overflows even in the worst storm events. So that's one of the reasons why we planned around a pretty conservative design storm there. Wanted to make sure that you have capacity in your system to deal with even some of your worst case events here. And this drawing just kind of shows kind of all the potential sources, but it basically is just what I pointed out.
So how leaky is the wind flow system right now?
Actually, your system, because it's relatively new, I think your peak INI was 25, yeah.
Yeah, so this was, the far right column is inflow and infiltration that we experienced during the monitoring period. And, the comparison between the numbers kind of show us which basin might have more infiltration than another. When we used the design storm, we saw around 2,500 was the highest.
That's 2,500 gallons per acre per day. So that's acres served, and you're getting 2,500 gallons per acre per day. And there's a lot of communities that have, that seems like a big number, and it is a big number, but there's a lot of communities that have 10,000, 50,000 gallons per day. I mean, they have big numbers. I've seen video cameras going down a sewer and the video camera just disappears into an abyss. It just, a black hole, and the camera's gone. So some systems are in terrible condition. Yours is in relatively good condition. But there's probably room for improvement. So.
So we looked at the INI for the existing system, and then we also project that out into the future using the model. So then we take that data, put it in the model, and we see, compare that, inflow or that flow through the pipes to what can the pipes actually handle and what can the pump stations handle. So first of all, looking at the pump stations, by 2025, there are two pump stations within the Winslow system that are going to have capacity deficiencies. So the flows coming into those pump stations are going to exceed the capacity of the pump stations. That's the Northtown Woods pump station in the north of Winslow, and then also the Village pump station. By 2035...
They're both put in by developers. That's surprising. I wonder...
Because they're new, right?
Village?
The Northtown Woods is...
Well, it's
12,
not
15,
no, it's not that. It's the there's zoning 12, around 12. That's going to flow to that pump station. So there's a lot more development that could go on up there.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just surprised Northtown Woods there isn't any. I don't think.
Isn't all the red top stuff and everything in there.
Well, yeah, I guess, but there's not much.
We'll go back to the.
Anyway, that's okay. We don't need to get off of that. I'm just surprised.
Yeah. I
would have thought it'd been down in the older part. You've got one where the Northtown Woods is a commercial area, is a residential area, and that was built 12 years ago.
Yeah, it's new.
It's pretty new.
Yeah.
And the Village is a shopping center that had a major upgrade of that facility when they built the motel. What's that, 12 years ago?
Not too terribly long ago.
So I just am surprised that those are the ones that are.
And what's happening with the pump stations? They're going to fail? Oh, it's just that they can't go fast capacity. Enough to.
They
were undersized when they installed.
Well, you have to understand, those are 2035 conditions, so they're still 20 years away.
All right.
You don't have enough capacity in 20 years, so
okay.
They may have only been put in 10 years ago, but they may be 30 years before you have to replace them, and I don't know what the assumptions were in the original development.
So they think there's going to be more development connected to those pump stations.
Well,
correct?
You have to go back to the 2035 zoning map.
Just
the
zoning.
So okay. They're projecting so that this higher area will be built out
with
density
maybe.
As zone.
Northtown Woods is at the edge, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, but there isn't there.
Well, Copper Top Loop.
Copper Top got built, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Barn is going in, and more of that wooded area is slated.
Yeah, the Coltish property, not just
Grandmama's Tree Farm.
Yeah, no, that's now
slated.
Oh, it is? That's the yellow. That's the tan down by New Brooklyn.
Okay.
The tree farm, the red commercial, that's the tree farm, but I don't know where that goes into.
Of the flow from there. They're not connected, but in the future it may be redeveloped and then.
Right.
The tree
so
farm
that
doesn't need
to turn that, the pretty big parcels there into commercial areas. So
yeah. Yeah.
That's the way it's zoned for 2035. Yeah. So. And that pump station won't be able to handle that at 2035. It was probably sized more just to deal with that.
That development.
And I don't remember exactly what year that was and where we have it in your capital program, but obviously, as you know, there'll be trigger points for, you know, increasing the capacity of that pump station. That development doesn't happen, that commercial development doesn't happen by 2035, then you'd probably be able to push.
Or if the development needs to happen, then it has to upgrade.
It might happen sooner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the basins listed?
They would be on the map. I think it was 4.1.
There's 6.1.
Well, they're probably speeded on several maps.
Yeah, map 4.1 shows it.
Okay.
4.1.
Sorry about that.
Right, so we have three pump stations identified as potentially meeting capacity upgrades within the planning period. And then we also found some pipelines that also had capacity deficiencies. There's one here going into the wastewater treatment plant, something that the city is currently looking at, that has some surcharging going on. And then these other pipelines, you can see they're all close to pump stations, and they are all surcharging because of the capacity deficiencies of the pump stations in the future. So when we upgrade the capacity of the pump station, then the pipeline no longer has any problems. So even though the model identified some pipelines as being capacity deficient, we don't need to do anything to improve those pipelines.
And that's something, as you rebuild those pump stations, you want to look at that upstream sewer and make sure that you have the water surface elevation set right in that pump station to make sure you're not causing any upstream problems. So right now, the water surface elevation climbs up to the point where it would cause some problems upstream. So
the pipelines look like they need upgrading, but they don't if you're improving the pump stations that they're feeding into. Yeah, it's once you improve the pump station, then there is no problem with the pipeline.
So that's
2035, right?
Yeah. So that's actually very good news, and that's unusual to see that small a percentage of the system needing, you know, having capacity deficiency. So.
We also did some analysis on the New Brooklyn force main, which is shown here in the pink. So you can see there are four pump stations that all pump into one small 4-inch force main. And so we wanted to look at, you know, what when all of those pump stations are pumping at the same time, then the pressure in that force main gets really high and it makes it harder for those pump stations to pump into it. We found that in that situation, when all four pump stations are pumping at the same time, both the Northtown Woods and the Woodward School pump station cannot pump at their full capacity, and then they are deficient. The inflow is greater than the their pumping capacity.
They can't compete against the other pumps that are pumping into the system. So.
And so that's something that we've, you know, recommended the city kind of investigate further. Northtown Woods is already red. You know, it may experience capacity issues anyway, and so during those upgrades, just making sure that it can pump at the full range of pressures in that force main. And then Woodward School is another pump station to look at. Maybe modifications there, whether it's replacing the pumps or just maybe it's a matter of just replacing the controls on the pumps so that
right,
it's not
right now. My recollection is that force main is 4 inches, right?
That's correct.
So you kind of have an issue here. You think, well, geez, maybe we can bump that force main up to 6 inches, but then most of the time it's running with extremely low velocities, and so everything settles out in the system, and that's not good. You want to have it so that every day you get up to a certain velocity that flushes all that out and keeps everything in suspension. So going to a 6-inch, it doesn't sound like a big deal, but that's a lot more area. Pipe velocities drop dramatically. So we think, and putting in force mains can be pretty expensive. We actually think the better solution, and probably the less expensive solution, is to go in and modify your pump station so they have enough head to be able to compete with those other pumps. It's not like you have too high a velocity in your force main. It's simply that those pumps were designed at different times and without maybe a huge amount of thought as to how they're going to compete with the other pumps. So as the flows come up, that becomes more problematic. Does that make sense?
Well, I just saw something in there that in your report that said the new piping standards are to have the pipe at 50% diameter, which means the pipe would be half full of...
This is a force main.
That's a force main.
So this is a pressure line,
so
discharge
gravity,
of a pump.
The gravity is a 50%.
Yeah, no, it doesn't apply to gravity.
Thank you.
Force main is always filled
through
it.
Yeah, we hope. They're not always filled.
Yeah,
no,
but they're back.
This map of South Island shows which parcels are currently connected to the system. We did not do a hydraulic model of the South Island, but we did evaluate the capacity of the pump stations compared to what's connected now and what we anticipate will be connected in the future. If we look at the Linwood Center pump station, we converted the capacity of Linwood Center from, you know, gallons per minute to an ERU value. ERU stands for equivalent residential unit. So we can say that one single-family household has a certain amount of sewer flow per day that it generates, and you know that's considered one ERU. So it's like a unit of flow. And so we can convert the capacity of the pump station into ERUs. And then we can count how many ERUs are connected currently in the South Island area. So, you know, each household is one ERU. A commercial building might be 10 or 20 ERUs, so 20 times the flow of a household. Currently, connected to the Linwood Center pump station are 241 ERUs. and there are 24 more ERUs that have a binding reservation. So basically the city has made a commitment to serve those customers in the future. And then if we look at the entire study area, it's a total of 563 ERUs. So you can see that when we compare the ERUs of the customers compared to the capacity of the pump station, right now we're fine. But if we want to connect everyone in the study area, then it's going to exceed the capacity of the pump station.
Is that study area in addition to the 241 and the 24, or is
no,
that
included? That is total.
Okay.
So what we use for ERU, now did we use actual flow or historical flows, or did we use a fact like 250 a day?
It was like 220 gallons per day.
Okay.
That's how we calculated the
400
ERUs.
Is that what ERUs uses too?
I'm not sure, but I know that
you
from
mean the sewer district 7?
I think I remember, I think the actual flow that we're experiencing is like 190, or that's Rockaway Beach, I think, I'm not sure. Anyway, the Winslow is like 140, which is fairly low, and then Rockaway is like 190-something, but we use like 225, kind of a planning factor.
Right, okay. Yeah. Right, so before you would, you know, upgrade the pump station, you would want to look more closely at the actual
flows. Yeah, if the
actual
flows are lower than that, then we could have more capacity than we think.
Then
is
we also
no
then you're
construction.
Talking about
another
LA.
Mm-hmm. Is this with no new construction? Or is it existing houses only or no new construction?
Well, the study area has new construction, like new commercial and new
right.
multi-use.
But there's no contract in Sewer District 7 right now.
Right, we don't have enough just contracted capacity yet for that, even that. So we first have to get the treatment capacity
right.
under contract, and then we have to look at our pumping capacity. So it's a multifaceted
yeah.
problem.
Plus, the study area, just quick study area, includes two areas. One is the Pleasant Beach area, the other is the Point Wood area.
Right.
You do one. Pleasant Beach area is probably fits within your 400. It's only when you get around to Point White that you have a lot of. If you go back to the last map, you can see it.
Yeah.
If you just did the area where Steve Johnson lives here, just southeast of Linwood. That's probably enough. It's just when you go around to the west, around
all
the
that
way.
White, yeah, that's a lot.
That's where you're.
There may be another way to serve this area too, besides going through Linwood pump station. Maybe you could pump directly.
Right now, as I understand it, the brown area just to the north of the tan area, doesn't it gravity flow down to Linwood and then it pumps in a force main all the way up?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Likely. What are you talking about for the
Emerald Heights?
I'm talking about. Yeah.
So you're saying that Pleasant Beach could go to the pump station that's down the bottom there?
Isn't the pump station?
Don't they all have grinder pumps?
Pump station.
Yeah, they have
here,
that
right?
too.
Yeah.
The pump station.
So they're all pumping.
Yes, that's the limit.
They could put in big enough grinder
yeah,
pumps.
So
right.
Right now, this area.
It's all mush.
Right now, this area gravity flows down
yes.
to here, mm-hmm. and then pumps on a force main up to the plant.
Right.
I was just suggesting you could add these areas if you ever wanted to, and that would be less than 400. It's only when you come around and do this.
Yeah, numbers there, the ERUs that were reflected in that 2035, that was all of those areas that are contiguous with the Linwood.
Right.
So it does include going around the
plant. I understand.
Plus additional development in downtown.
And we didn't.
Plus more development here.
Yeah.
And we didn't do the engineering to figure out, well, it would be better to put a pump station in here or whatever. We assumed it's going to go to your existing
right.
pump station.
Yeah, good point.
If we look at Rockaway Beach, the capacity of the pump station far exceeds the current study area. So that one is fine.
You can come over to Rockaway Beach.
Yeah.
We could pump it over there.
Pump it back.
So now when we add up, the connected throughout the whole system, connected and binding reservations comes out to 342 ERUs. The current agreement with KCSD number 7 is 480 ERUs. So your agreement is great to cover the current commitment. If you want to serve the entire study area, however, then there will need to be, a new agreement with the treatment plant. So then we looked at the Mid-Island study area, which is currently not served at all, and projected the build-out flows. So if that area were completely developed, what kind of flows would you see? And so the eastern pocket is what I called it, the one on the eastern side.
That's Rolling Bay.
Yeah.
Right, it's quite a bit smaller than the western pocket.
Which is
Island Center. Yeah. And we looked at different options that the city has to treat those areas. You could convey the sewer from there to Winslow and feed it into the Winslow wastewater treatment plant, or you could have a separate system in each of those pockets. You could do land apply it, you could have drain fields, you look at subsurface drip systems, or you could treat the water to a high enough level where it could actually be reused as irrigation water or groundwater infiltration.
You won't get a, it's unlikely you ever get a discharge permit for a treatment plant, so you have to deal with that water either by recycling it or infiltrated into the ground. So those are kind of your options.
And you know that Island Center doesn't perk very well at all, so that's why nothing's ever been built there.
Yeah. So you need a lot of land.
Yeah, a lot of land. It's barely surviving on its current system.
Okay, and so we looked into several different on-site treatment options and picked kind of three general options to look at in more detail and get some rough cost estimates for.
Yeah.
So we looked at conveying each pocket to Winslow, or we looked at putting in community septic tanks with drain fields for each of those pockets. And then the third option was membrane bioreactors, MBR packaged plants with percolation ponds. And so you can see that for the eastern pocket, probably a community septic system would be the cheapest option. You know, if the soil conditions are appropriate for that. For the western pocket, so Island Center, the cheapest way to go would be connecting to Winslow, you know, if there's enough capacity at the plant. And then, you know, MBR is an option, but more expensive than the other ones.
So connecting to Winslow means another pump station to pump it all the way to Winslow.
Yeah,
no,
you know,
how much capacity is there at the plant?
You got to build a pipeline on New Brook.
And a lot of the cost is tearing up the roads and repaving them because you got to go down the road.
Yeah.
It's a lot of cost in that.
But it's sure a lot cheaper.
I'm surprised how cheap that is. That's a long list. You run it essentially all the way across the island.
But it's direct.
Yeah. Well, you could. I mean, it's a small pond. You might be able to get the
shore. No,
it's right across the island. You haven't told anyone else.
Yeah, very small.
That's actually not right. All the way across the island is from Fletcher Bay Road to Sportsman's Road. Yeah.
But we're talking about a pipe that may be 4 inches at max, right?
Yeah, maybe smaller. Yeah.
Maybe smaller.
Which ditch? Which?
What's that?
Get one of those ditch
things. Well, that's what I mean. So you put it in the shoulder
and
you
stay on the shoulders. You don't have to do landowners.
Yeah, we have plenty of right of way.
I'm just surprised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But a pump station is probably a couple hundred thousand at least for that much. I don't know. It's a small area.
Probably not that much. These are pretty small flows.
Yes, it is. Very small.
Well, you know, unfortunately, the membrane costs are coming down, but unfortunately, you don't really get great economies of scale for these really. You know, they kind of have package plants built on certain size increments, and when you get down this small, you kind of almost have to custom build them for a small plant like that. So you're kind of in, you'd almost be better in some ways to have a bigger development in one location than to have, you know,
two
very small.
Rolling Bay has historically been there for 125 years.
Yes, we're waiting too.
The Island Center has been waiting, actually. Some people have been waiting.
You mean waiting to develop?
Okay.
Okay, now I'm going to hand it over to Bob to talk about the evaluation of the wastewater treatment plants.
Well, those are easy to see.
They're all off to the right.
So
that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
We have flows.
Look at a number of things when you're looking at capacity of a treatment plant. One of them is obviously flow. There's certain things in your treatment plant that have to be able to deal with peak flows. And so we worry quite a bit about how you get peak flow through a treatment plant. And we look at that by individual processes. Does this plant, you know, have enough capacity in each individual process to handle the peak flows coming through? So what we've got here is maximum month flow. That's kind of day in and day out. It's what we design, kind of the process around. The biological processes typically get designed around a maximum month flow condition. Then you've got the peak day flows, which is kind of, you know, it's not the instantaneous flows, but it's something you have to have reliability to pump that, get that flow through your system. And then the peak hour flows are things that, you know, it's basically just hydraulic capacity, nothing to do with treatment otherwise.
That's
why does it do this?
Because you're in the bottom left
corner. Oh, you're up that arrow there.
Oh. There we go. I'll let that thing migrate down to the bottom. Then we also, based on those maximum flows, we do a projection of BOD, which is biochemical oxygen demand, and TSS, which is total suspended solids. Those are really the kind of two of the parameters we use to design treatment plants. And so we took measured historical data, which you can see has some variability to it. Concentrations go around and total loads go around. You find the total load by multiplying the concentration times the flow times the conversion factor, and you come up with the pounds entering the treatment plant every day. And so you've got to have enough capacity in your system to deal with those pounds of pollutant load coming into your treatment plant. So these are the maximum month projections. And those don't typically change on daily peaks. Your poundage load, your flow may come up considerably, but your concentration then drops down. Your load, your pollutant load, what comes from people in your community stays, you know, similar regardless of what your flow conditions are. So day in and day out, it should be more consistent throughout the year. Does that make sense? I'm not sure it's undergone continuous upgrades, but regular upgrades. And this is, I think, not at all uncommon as a community grows and as treatment plant, you know, regulatory requirements change and get more stringent over time. Treatment plants have to be updated and improved. And so you did an improvement in 94, 2003, you went to UV disinfection, upgraded the effluent pump station, and then had your... more recently, a pretty major expansion of that treatment plant. So. So we've looked at the treatment plant capacity. I believe the design capacity of the treatment plant was 3.6, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
MGD. And so you can see that we've actually gone in and looked at what the current capacity is. In some cases we looked at what the engineer had, in some cases we looked at what you could with minor expenditure, how you might modify it to get more capacity out of your existing tankage. In other words, you might not be operating it right now because you don't need to get full capacity out of the tanks that you have, but with modifications and operational changes, you can get more capacity in that system. So they don't always match up with what either what you're, how you're operating it today, or necessarily how the design engineer designed it. So you can see that certain things are dictated by PHF, which is peak hour flow, and certain things are dictated by the PPD, MM, BOD. For instance, on the secondary system, is pounds per day, maximum month flows, BOD. Or maximum load, actually. So you can see different things are designed around different parameters. And you've noticed that you're bumping up against some capacity issues in 2025. and we've made some assumptions there on what those just to make sure we're stating what the assumptions are so people know what goes into those numbers. So overall, not too bad, but you know, you've got to bump up your, most of it's in your secondary system. 2035, you start to see mostly hydraulic issues to the treatment plant as you exceed your design capacity of 3.6 MGD. So.
So once again, these are all based on assuming everything gets fully built out. So
yep.
This is worst case scenario. We would have to monitor as the years go by. Are we getting to full build out, or are we realizing the growth we thought we had, or we exceeded? I guess that could happen too. But this is really worst case based on current zoning.
But you can see that some of them could
happen sooner. Yeah.
Yeah, some of them could happen sooner.
Yeah.
So that's something you need to pay attention to. So what we've done is made some recommendations, kind of things to look at, so that you don't end up in a spot where you're, you know, you're up against it and scrambling to put together improvements in your treatment plan. So, you know, we're fairly limited in our evaluation and in our scope on this particular general sewer plan. So, there's some things that you want to look at in a little more detail here over the next few years. One. We think it's important to develop and actually figure out how much flow you can get to your treatment plant. That may not just be a model, but you may also be able to do some actual testing. You can pump flow from the back end of the plant, back around the front, keep boosting the flow up in the summertime, start to see, have monitors through the plant and actually see where it starts to come up out of the channels and basins. So that's one way to do it, or you can just rely on a calculation. Evaluate alternatives to increase screening capacity. I think there's your grit removal system wasn't designed for, I'm not sure that was improved as this stage for improvements in the most recent upgrades. So I think they left that as it was. And so that's something we're going to have to look at. We think there's opportunities to get more capacity out of your aeration basins and improve what this does. Your aeration basins and your secondary clarifiers are tied together. If you can do certain things in your aeration basins, make a flock that settles better in your aeration basins, then you can improve the capacity in your secondary clarifiers because you don't need as much square footage for those solids to settle out in the bottom of the clarifier. So you want something that settles fast, and you can change the operating conditions in your aeration basins to make those solids settle faster. And there's a number of techniques that we can employ to do that. So we think there's some opportunities to make some improvements there.
I haven't been there since 2005, but the aeration basin, what was the system that they're using now?
Yeah, it's called an activated sludge treatment system, which has basically a couple of components. You have the biological material in there, bacteria, protozoa, everything else, the microbes growing in that basin, and then you put secondary clarifiers out there. And what you do is you settle out the solids and all those microbes in your secondary clarifiers, and then you return a portion of those.
The system was a spinning baffle?
Oh, RBC?
What was it?
What's that?
It was something that used a lot of energy.
You're talking about the grit removal?
If I recall correctly. What they're using to aerate the tanks and the aeration basin.
Well, they might have had coarse bubble at one point. They switched to fine bubble.
Fine bubble. It's just fine bubble diffusers.
Yeah. Okay. No, I am
sorry, I was confused.
Yeah.
I was going to go into a whole treatise on activated sludge design. But
What
they do is they return the solids, which allows you to separate the solids retention time from the hydraulic retention time, so you can move more flow through and still keep your solids in the system without washing out. So that's how the process. So if you can settle those solids faster, you can shrink up the size of your secondary clarifiers. You don't need as many, and still keep the solids in your system. Where treatment plants fail, activated sludge systems fail, is when solids start to wash out of the system. They don't settle fast enough for the velocity of of the flow comes from the bottom to the top, so you've got an upward velocity in your secondary clarifiers. The solids have to settle countercurrent to that. If your velocity up is higher than your settling velocity, they'll wash out of the system and you lose your biology. You lose all your, and you violate your permit. It's not good news. So a lot of these are focused on making sure that your activated sludge process is producing a good settling sludge. And one thing we look at is the sludge volume index. That's the one on secondary clarifiers there. Right now you've got what we would call a very high SVI. So they operate a very high SVI. That means you have a sludge that doesn't like to settle very well. It's kind of bulky. So it wants to float rather than settle. It's not an issue for you now, but it's going to be an issue for you as your flows come up, and they're going to have to figure out a way to control that. And there are strategies for doing that. UV disinfection, need some capacity improvements there. And some other, one of the things that you're going to have to deal with here on solids handling is that at some point, as you go to stabilization, right now you're running it as what we call basically an extended air plant. So you have solids that are pretty well digested, and they, when you stack them up or store them or put them in a place, they don't really smell very much. As you run to shorter and shorter times, they don't, in the activated sludge process, they tend to not chew themselves up and stabilize themselves as much. So if you set them on the ground or put them any place or handle them, there's a much greater potential for odor generation. So as you try to get more and more capacity out of this treatment plant, you're going to have to go from extended times in your aeration basin to shorter times in your aeration basin, and you have a potential for greater odor generation. So that's something you're going to have to figure out how to manage. And you're in a neighborhood that odors aren't going to be very acceptable. So
as close in to wealthy homes as you possibly
can. So it's something the city's going to have to pay attention to. You can't just make
governor's house.
Yeah, the governor's house is right across the street.
So you can't make a change in your solids retention time and have the same odor control and solids handling facilities as you do with a more stable sludge. So it's a little complicated, but I'd be happy to. Are you talking about this or am I talking about this?
You're talking about it.
We have four project categories: pipelines, pump stations, treatment plants in general. The pipeline replacement projects, remember, these were based on both condition and capacity.
Right.
Most
but there
of these
were,
are condition related here, I think.
Right. They were only condition related because there were no capacity issues.
Once we addressed the pump station problems.
Right.
So we recommend that you start, you know, spending some money, investing some money in your infrastructure on the ground. You need to get a program in place. Remember, that's going to ramp up over a period of time, so you need to start gearing up for that.
The city has identified the Lower Lavelle Beach Mains Replacement Project because it's experiencing some corrosion issues similar to the Eagle Harbor beach mains, so that's a project in the short term.
Pump station projects, these all come from either the capacity evaluation we did or the condition assessment. Remember that matrix we had of all the different... So we've gone through this with the city's O&M staff, and I think we've reconciled, you know, I think they're comfortable with these recommendations and what improvements need to be made. And you can see that short term, it's $4 million. And then longer term, another couple million dollars on pump stations.
This is on page 914, by the way.
And then the treatment plant projects. Near term, we have capacity and improvements evaluation, and that's looking at some of those things like controlling SVIs, looking at some of your processes that seem to have some hydraulic restrictions. It'd probably be a good time here in the next few years to start figuring out, you know, if you did have to put in odor control, if you did shorten up your SRTs, what would you have to do? So, you know, there's the work of the treatment plant never ends, and you'll continue to have to make investments in that treatment plant over time. Well, outfall extension, that's already on the city's radar, something that needs to get done. So you have some short-term wastewater treatment plant improvements that will probably arise out of that item number one. And then you've got some issues there in your influent pipe into the treatment plant that need to be addressed, and so we've identified that as well. Then the rest of it is long-term, and quite honestly, that capacity improvements evaluation we have there is more of a plug-in number just to make sure that you have some number in your budget, a line item in there to make sure that you're going to have to do another evaluation. We would recommend, you know, every 5 years or so spending some time to go in and look at your process performance, look at your data at your treatment plant, look at how different processes are performing, perhaps do a little evaluation, and come up with maybe a list of recommendations that need to be implemented over the next 5 years. It's easier to stay ahead of it than it is to be merrily going along and then one day solids wash out of the system. You know, you say, well, geez, we need to build an upgrade. Well, that takes a year of planning, a year of design, 2 years of construction, and then you're got your compliance order, everything else, so it's much easier to stay in front of them. So. Anyway, that's it for the treatment plant. To make it sound trivial, I know it's not. And then the updates to the general sewer plan, and then looking at the South Island study area. Once again, how that area is going to develop, what the costs are to bring any of those neighboring areas in, how you where you put the pump station, those types of things.
Stuff that we're trying to solve here.
Yeah. And we're putting that, you know, we're suggesting that you do that study here before 2025, but you probably don't need to do it before that, but the timing could change. So the short-term cost is between now and 2025 is you're going to end up about $10 million or $1 million a year on average. The longer-term cost is another $5 million, $6 million.
Seems like a good segue to can we afford that?
That's
how
that happened.
Before we get your body.
Yeah.
So, in summary, what are you saying about the current Winslow plant's ability to handle its service, projected service area?
Right to its projected, the steady area that we developed and the development in that steady area. At 2035, you're going to have to make some capacity improvements and some operational changes to that treatment plant, but it isn't like you have to rip it down and start over.
And that assumes so, you have the capacity, the populations.
Yeah, that's
what I'm just saying. Yes, the current, if that question was always asked, would the current plant handle the current service area? And that was a big question mark.
Right. If maximum build out, the answer is yes, you have
yes, with some modifications.
I guess my biggest concern, I'm pretty confident, I mean, some of those systems weren't upgraded this last time around, and so you kind of figured, well, yeah. They're going to have to be upgraded here, so that's understandable. I guess the biggest, I think you have enough tankage for your activated sludge process, but I think you're going to have to work operationally and do some modifications to those basins to maybe work more optimally than they do today, but it's not a huge expenditure. My biggest concern is actually with the odor control issue and the solids handling side of things. I think that's something that could potentially be the most problematic, and you don't have any footprint down there really to, you know, expand or add to that facility down there. So that could be the most problematic thing.
how much more land would it take to add another clarifier?
I think we, isn't there, I don't know, I'm not sure we looked at that.
There isn't any room. I mean, you got a park next to it now.
So yeah, wetland on one side, residential.
Wetland
on
and a park and residential on three ways.
Yeah, so there's really nowhere to go.
I'm just curious, you know.
Yeah.
It becomes a huge problem.
Yeah, it does.
People would prefer it in the domain of one house, you know.
We have houses like right up to the wall on three sides, basically.
I mean, there's things you can do that conserve more space than circular secondary clarifiers, but we didn't look at all those options for what you can do there. But you know, you built your tree. I mean, that was one of the concerns on the advisory committee that started this. Is we built this treatment plan, and we know we're very space constrained. You know, we don't want to be blowing out the neighborhood there by expanding that treatment plant. That's going to be a tough thing to do, and so we want to make sure we don't grow our flows too much so we exceed the capacity of this, and we would rather keep people on septic systems than go that direction. It's kind of the message we got. So,
what about in the, you know, water, energy, sewer capacity conservation? So, is it on the conservation side? So, did you look into that? And there are the things like. I'm speaking about stuff I don't know a lot about.
No, that's no problem.
Yeah, but low flow toilets and all kinds of things to instead of building treatment capacity, building conservation.
Yeah, and you know, it's the capacity of your collection system and the hydraulic capacity requirements of your treatment plant. They're driven more by that wet weather flow number. So the day in, day out flow doesn't drive that. If you could figure out a way to get pollutant load out of your system or do even better on your ionized reduction, then you can have a much bigger impact than low flow toilets. I mean,
because you have the same waste.
You have the same waste. You
less
just
water.
Yeah, you use
but
water.
You still have to design your hydraulic capacity for those big peak storm events, right? That's the challenge. So low-flow toilets work better on the supply side because, you know, you don't have to produce as much domestic water. In fact, I think recycled water should be used in toilets. You know, there are opportunities to do things, but you have to really understand, is that investment worth the benefits that we're going to gain at the wastewater treatment plant? There may be a lot of other good reasons to do it, but it may not be driven by your treatment plan, your wastewater treatment plan.
When you're projecting out the build-out, do you hold the INI a constant, or is it a moving target? Is it moving?
Yeah, we assumed
it declines. Actually, it gets worse.
We assumed
assumed your existing system degrades over time, and we assumed that a system, when it gets built, has a certain amount of INI, a fairly reasonably low number, but that will deteriorate over time as well. So as the system ages, you know, things happen. So
unless you have an active INI reduction program where you're going in there sublining pipes and things, it's going to actually get worse.
And a lot of the problem ends up being between the sewer main and the connection of the house. So even if your pipe is tight, you know, you've got gravel all around your pipe, and then you've got gravel going up your laterals. So if your laterals are failing, even if you make your pipe tight, groundwater will fill up that trench you've created alongside your pipe back up and run into the laterals. So one thing you need to look at is kind of how INI changes over time, and also do some videotaping on your mains. If your mains look to be in good condition, you might start looking at the condition of some of these private laterals. I would assume most of them are plastic. Some of them may not be. But even with plastic, I've seen, you know, contractors, nobody's paying attention. They don't have a good way to, they don't want to do an official tap on a live sewer, so they go out and they take a big hammer and they whack a hole on the side of that PVC main and they run their lateral in there. And lo and behold, they've got a connection and they bury it back up. It happens all over the place.
You just never know. The inspector's not there every minute of the day. Oh, yeah. You know, we got that done last night when the flows were low. So there you are. You have a big hole in your pipe that you didn't know you had.
All right, time, we're doing time, going in time. We got another half an hour or so. So let's talk about dollars.
Okay, so on the financial side, as part of the plan, you need to have a six-year plan of how and show how you can pay for things over 6 years. So in order to do that, I always look at the three-year history. It's also a requirement of the plan. But to take a look, in general, how do your operating revenues compare to your expenditures? And for the past 3 years, you have been to the positive. Now, as a self-sustaining enterprise fund, you have the sewer fund, and the monies you use for sewer expenses and what's left over stays in your sewer reserves. They're stayed for the sewer. This is table 10.1. I see you looking around. In the chapter, in the draft chapter, it's split over two. So I used a different format of that so it all fit on one page here. But in general, so at the end of 2013, there was $3.8 million in the sewer reserve. And I will say that in 2011, you were working on finishing up the wastewater treatment plant upgrades. You did some long-term general obligation bonds for the treatment plant and refunded, and now you have been rebuilding, I would say rebuilding those reserves. So,
just the other button.
Other side?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I like to look at debt. But another requirement is to, you know, line out what your debt is. And this is specific for the sewer. And what we're looking at here is the rate-supported debt. So for each year is a stack of the debt repayment that's paid for by your rates. In addition to this, you have the South Island Sewer Program, or there was a Public Works Trust Fund loan to pay for the South Island Sewer that's being repaid by assessments from those properties that connected. So that's not shown in here. And what this is telling me is across the top, if we go straight across, we don't really have any opportunity out here until we get way out here, 2026, to take on additional debt without impacting rates. And this light blue section that we have here, this is the Eagle Harbor Beach Mains, the existing Public Works Trust Fund loan you have. What's a good thing about this project is you applied for a loan about $4.2 million at the time, and then your scope changed. That project came in about $3.2 million, so much under that. There's about a million dollars excess. So when we went and looked at your, I'll talk to you about that in a minute, but the lower Lavelle beach mains are very similar.
Lovell,
thank you. Lavelle was somebody I knew back when I was younger, so I think.
Okay.
That project is about $600,000, and we came up with the idea to talk to Public Works Trust Fund and see if it was possible to include that project in your existing loan. And yes, the answer was yes. So that's great because you have the funding available to pay for that, and it won't change the debt service too much on it. Another item that we have to look at is how do your monthly rates compare to others? And I did not look at just your local jurisdictions. What I did was go to Association of Washington Cities does a survey every 2 years, and the JISCO was updated in 2014. And I could take a look at communities that have between 1,700 and 3,000 sewer connections. You're at about 2,200. So it was some less and some more, and see how you compare. And the Bainbridge is at the top, and the rest are less, but Chehalis and Enumclaw are quite close. And this is what a typical residence pays using 1,000 cubic feet a month. And what I generally see here is those that have their own treatment plant and those that have recently upgraded their treatment plants are at the top. And the ones that are at the bottom are ones that have maybe have a contract for, you know, treatment, or that we expect will end up at the top in in the future as they
fails.
Right. Yeah. Correct. Now, the other thing we look at is what Department of Ecology calls affordability, and they look at affordability as your monthly sewer rate compared to your median household income. And at 2%, they think is affordable. If your sewer rate is 2% of your median household income on a monthly basis, they consider that affordable. That would be $154 for you, and your rate, your customer at 1,000 cubic feet, comes out to be $115. So you're well under that $154. That doesn't mean that you should set your rates at that affordable. What it means is when you come in to look at a loan, to request a loan, they will look at that affordability. And if you're less than, your rates are less than that, they think, okay, you can afford it, that's a good risk. If your rates are higher than that, they might say, oh, they really need to do that project, maybe we should give them a lower interest rate. But your projects are, you know, shown to be required, and they think you can afford it, and you're a good risk, so that's good. So let's talk about how we get to the six-year CIP. Remember, the engineering analysis is short-term, which is for 11 years. But we're on the finance side, we're required to have a six-year. So what we do is know the annual cost, remember, was $929,000, about $1 million. And we're just averaging this for your finance plan. We're saying that you'll do 6 years worth of that. And that's the kind of money that you need to generate. Of this, we know the Lower Lavelle beach mains, now we have funding for that. And by the way, we just found that out last week or so. Oh, sorry, Lovell.
He's an astronaut.
We know what you mean.
We have funding for that, so that's good. Now, here's the two scenarios that I ran. This is my Christmas outlook with the red and green. Scenario A is pay as you go. We know we had the funding for the Lower Lovell, so I took that out and averaged the rest. And this would be, you'd just be generating revenue towards this program. And each year in your budget, you would figure out how many projects you could include. And you use your what's in your reserve account to balance. If you have one that's a little bit higher, you need a little more money in that year. That's how it gets paid for. So that gives you the slope of the red one. You get an increase, and then it gently goes up. The scenario B is if you were to borrow for the outfall extension. I looked at all of the projects that are on there, and you only want to borrow when you need to. And for projects that are, you know, expensive and will provide service for long term. So the outfall extension is, you know, clearly a long term. And it was about $2.6 million. So I said, if you were to borrow for anything, that is something that made sense to do so. So if you were to borrow, you don't have to increase your rates as quickly, and you can be lower, and then the debt service starts. And so at the end, you're still lower. The difference on a per month basis out there is $3 a month. Your base rate's currently about $42 and change. And out here in 2020, the red line is at $55, and the green line is about $52. So that's the kind of base rate increase. Now, you also have a volume rate, and this assumes that the volume rate would also increase over that period. And here's just the real bitty numbers, but this other was the big picture. And that, so that seems affordable. And I know the staff and the engineers have gone around a number of times and honed down from the draft, and that this seems a much more affordable and something that can be done. And that's it. Question?
So table 1010 is assuming what financing has been done?
What one was?
It's the very last one.
Oh, the table 1010 is the detailed outlook of...
Pay-as-you-go, it looks like.
Pay-as-you-go.
Okay.
Yes, pay-as-you-go, I assumed, would be the standard plan, and you could target that, and if you were to borrow...
So, I should look at this closer. So, pay-as-you-go... Does that assume a certain use of reserves or not?
No, there is no use
no
specific use of reserves in here.
So that's the other option, is determine your reserve policy, how much we need in reserves, how much could go in.
I'm kind of blown away. We have $3.8 million. That's so much.
3.5 is what we're estimating this year in, I think.
Yeah.
So that's an option. We can talk about that. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah. What I did was look at your resolution for reserves, required reserves. I usually think of three elements, and you have all three of those elements in yours. There's a cash flow reserve, something off the top of my head, I think it's 45 days of your operating expenses. Then you have I forget the term you use, but it's, you know, rebuilding, replacement. And you look at your fixed assets, and I can't remember if it's 1% or 2% of your fixed assets, and you keep that in reserve at all times. Together, those are about $500,000. The third element is a debt service reserve, and your policy says when required for outstanding debt, we will keep 1 year's debt reserve. So your LTGO bonds does not have a requirement for that. It's really backed by the taxes, general taxes of the city, even though you are repaying with your sewer rates. So it does not have a specific debt service requirement. The Public Works Trust Fund loan for the South Island Sewer does have one, because you have an LID that's backing that, and the assessments. And there's a specific guarantee fund that is separate from the sewer utility that is set up, and we'll use that if necessary.
Right now it's not in that reserve.
Right.
It's separate from that.
It's separate from
that. That's separate from that, yeah. It's a separate, very specific LID guarantee fund. Because the bulk of your loans are Public Works Trust Fund, and they don't have that requirement when it's backed by the general sewer rates, and your LTGO bond, that 2011 bond for the wastewater treatment plant. I'd like to see would have
so
1 year's debt service.
So the summary is, we don't have a debt service requirement in our policy right now.
Well
it says that it's only if it's required by the lender.
And since it's not, we don't have to do one.
Right.
And now you're going to tell us what you would recommend anyway.
I'd like to see 1 year debt service anyway that you have.
Which is about $1 million.
That you keep that and you don't spend down beyond that.
So really we're talking $500,000 for operational reserves, $1 million for debt service reserve.
Right.
So you could reduce your reserve
numbers
a little bit.
Yeah.
You could reduce your reserve
$2 million. No,
$1.5 million.
So you got
they can use that. I mean, the additional reserves are available for future capital projects. So you could say we're going to use, you know, $1 million of that, and therefore we don't have to raise the rates.
Right, that's what I'm saying. We could put some reserve pay down into this formula to just to buy down that rate increase some.
So this projected 2015 is a red $600,000 under construction improvements. Is that lower level? What is that?
That's for the lower level.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we already have a loan for that. Mm-hmm. So that's assuming it's going to be financed because we have a 0.5% loan on that.
Right, because the public works trust is a great
deal.
So
there's no reason not to finance that.
So that's why it's cheaper, because there's no interest in these things?
Well, the public works trust fund is very
low. 0.5%.
0.5% interest.
I couldn't figure that out. Why the debt thing was $3 cheaper than not borrowing money. I was like, huh? Because you have to pay back the interest, but there's really very little interest.
Yes, good deal. It's expected that this legislature will essentially raid the Public Works Trust Fund. To fund the McCleary decision.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if, speaking of the governor, that's his proposal, so we ought to go talk to him about that.
But
that's his proposal.
I thought his proposal was carbon taxes. Capital gains tax.
So all the utilities out there are trying to keep the Public Works Trust Fund because it's so low.
So anyway, guess what I was
getting
at here.
Even if it's at 3% interest, which is what I have, because you would also qualify for ecology loan, so that's at 3% is what I have in here. The current one's at 2.6%, but it's 60% of the bond rate.
So this shows, 20% loan increase over.
This one is the pay as you go, so it shows about 13% increase in 2015, and then about 3% a year thereafter. And that 3% is because we're increasing for cost escalation about 3% a year.
So once again, that's kind of the worst case with not putting any more capital, not spending any current capital. It's just raising rates to cover projects as you
keep your reserve funds.
Yeah.
So we got 15 minutes left, and this is terrific, by the way. It's something we've all been looking forward to. I guess I'm looking to you, Barry. I'd like to. I know we essentially have one consultation with these folks, and this is it. But I'd sure like to consider some alternatives here. You're raising one, which is important. I, for one, would like to figure out how we can not have rate increases. These rate increases have been dramatic in the last couple of years, and people are, maybe we're affordable, but it still bothers them to see that we're essentially the most expensive around by far. And so I have two comments. One, is there a way we can keep from increasing rates? And second, looking at the list, the CIP list of things that are projected, how many of those can we realistically put off? In other words, with all due respect, sometimes I feel like when we get the engineer's advice, it's like when I take my car in and the auto mechanic says, you should do this. They're perfectly right, but how many do I have to do? I can get by with this and this and this. And so my question to you guys, really, you're the experts, you're the consultants, how many of these do we absolutely have to do?
Right.
And then that should help us drive, if we go with two philosophies. One, we don't want to harm our system. In fact, we want to make sure we're properly improving it or maintaining it. And second, keeping the rates as low as we can.
Right.
Yeah, and so a couple of things. One is on the increase in sewer rates. There's kind of two options there. Is one, you just increase the sewer rates to keep up with inflation, which I would recommend, and not have any jumps beyond keeping up with sewer. That would be your baseline. I think if you don't keep up with inflation, then you lose ground over time, and you probably can't afford to do that, but that's just my suggestion.
That's illogical, but there is a sense in the community that the sewer rates are significantly higher than, I don't know what the than is. Certainly than our competitors and others. Yeah. Now, there's reasons for it. Everybody knows the system's different. And we just had a dramatic upgrade to the treatment plant. But nevertheless, we are still substantially higher than others. And so I understand your point. Well, but one would say, well, we're already too high. Let's quit going up.
So
I'd just like us to talk about
that. Well, that has to happen. I mean, I think, you know, they have to lay out the process and go through the steps and give you the, you know, what's recommended. It's still the city's responsibility to which project can we slide a few years? Do we have to do that full scope? Can we do something cheaper to try to finesse it and deal with that? So that's, you know, we will have to do that. That's a given. Well, but we can't ask them to.
A couple of things just related to the timing of the project. Some of them are driven by development in your community. How fast you, you know, we kind of have two points in time, current land use and 2035 land use. You don't have all the little steps in between, and so you're going to have to monitor development, how fast that will drive it. Presumably, you can make that new development, share in the
pay for it,
right? I mean, there's an advantage there. And the second thing is that some of those early, you know, some of the lower cost early projects, like at the treatment plant, were to really determine, you know, to go beyond just a general sewer plan and really spend some time looking at how you can make those improvements and what the necessary timing is going to be. And so if you get that fairly small treatment plan evaluation done, kind of an amendment to your facilities plan, if you will, then you'll have a much better idea of when those, what the timing needs to be for those other improvements at the treatment plan.
Some of them are risk-based decisions, you know, the pipeline replacement, condition replacements, you know, those, that annual cost is based on projected life. You know, you can take a risk and say, well, they're gonna last longer. What's the risk of failure? Maybe not as great versus a pump station, which may be a higher risk of failure, something we want to do at a higher priority than a pipe that may or may not be reaching its final. So that we have to make those judgment calls and put it together, I think,
So part of my reason for raising this is, how much latitude do we have to discuss this and make recommendations, perhaps even have them run some scenarios that would... I'm concerned if this is it and it goes on, the council's final thing, and we haven't really had a chance
I think we have to figure out how the committee wants to address it. Do they want to look at... try to figure out what's a no rate or what's an inflation-only... scenario, what's a flat rate scenario, you know, what can we do at, you know, different levels of what you want to see done. We can look at how to evaluate that, how to adjust capital plans, how to potentially adjust the financing, and see what that means as far as risk.
One of the reasons that I believe that your sewer rates are higher here on the island is that most of your costs have been incurred over a fairly short duration of time, whereas other communities started building sewer infrastructure over a much longer period of time. That cost gets shared by more generations than what you've been able to do on this island. So.
Well, and plus we did not want to expand the sewer system. And partly to Jeff's point, which is, you know, can we afford, can the plant take it to that capacity? But there's been a political decision to essentially keep the system within the Winslow area and not try to expand it, which could get more people, which could lower by economy of scale, presumably the end cost.
As long as you have enough density to do that.
Exactly. It's always a trade.
Was your projection of how much it should go up every year, was that with just an inflationary rate, or was that more than the rate of inflation?
The operating expenses are going up. Look at this summary. I didn't put it on a slide. It looks like you all have a
10.3, yeah.
But the blue across the bottom are your operating expenses, and they're going up by 3% a year. The Orange is your debt service, and that's your actual debt service schedule. And the green across the top is the capital improvements. Now, you see the 2015 bar on the green is higher because I'm assuming that the lower level will be done in 2015. That's the assumption that's in here.
Yeah, okay, it won't.
And then the rest is your average, the annual average going in each year. So it's not programming on the financial side. We're not programming these three projects here and these two projects here. We're programming that average expenditure for the capital
but
program.
But I was thinking about that $53 versus $56 a year or a month.
$52 versus $55.
Yeah. Now, is the $52, is that keeping up with the cost of inflation to be raising it?
Yes. That pays for this program, and that includes a 3% increase in the operating expenses to reflect the inflation.
Inflation.
Yeah.
So that was all based on inflation.
Yeah, that's including inflation.
Does increasing the customer base, is a sort of an understanding? I mean, right now we have sufficient capacity. When we add customers, that should have a depressing effect on rates.
Yes, yeah, in theory. You get more customers to share the
sunk costs.
It's a stepwise thing. I mean, it increases your population, and your rates could drop down. But at some point, you have to make a significant capital improvement, new treatment plant, buy the neighbor's land, build a big new treatment plant. Then rates have to go up, and then over time, you know, you can help manage rates as more people connect to the system.
Yeah.
So finding that balance is, some of it's just policy related. What do we want to do here?
Well, I'd look at this chart, the final one, 1019, and just looking at, they're talking about the annual use of, in yellow, reserves of just 400,000. I mean, again, if we used 1.5 million in reserves.
So the yellow line on table 1010, this is if you did not adjust rates at all, what's the impact? And if it's in parentheses, that's negative. You
correct.
Need that amount of reserves to balance for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And every year is...
Assuming we're paying for lower level out of operating.
No.
Using the Public Works Trust Fund.
Okay. I'm looking
at this
red.
So it gets red.
It's only red because I added it.
Okay.
I wanted to, for those of us who were working with it, that we made the adjustment and added it in.
So the point is, though, looking at that yellow line, if we have $4 million in reserves now and we say that we want to have or keep reserves of $1.5 million, there's $2.5 million in reserves, which we could tap for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years.
Yeah.
It's 3.8 million now.
Okay.
He's round.
It's less than 4.
Yeah.
Round
numbers.
Round numbers. My point is that you could.
Yeah, you could bet. You could
buy
a 5.
You could buy 5, 6 years, and not have to increase rates.
And then you could see if your reserves are still building or if they're going back, because your operating costs could be going higher or lower than your.
Yes, that's correct.
The other thing you have to understand here, is that she's got, in the first year, she has some specific projects. There, she's averaged it out over years. And so having a reserve would help you if you had one year, we had a larger project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You pay for that without increasing rates, and then it would drop back down. You recover that over the next couple of years.
We were thinking you only needed a $1.5 million reserve, and we have more than that, right?
Spend it down. That's what I was saying. If you invest it over time, and then you could monitor your rate. Every year you're looking at your cash flow. Did your operating costs come in higher or lower? And you could be still creating reserves.
Uh-huh.
You go forward if inflation's not 3%, it's less, or your whatever thing. Costs can change. You can go more. Projects can come in higher too. These are estimated costs.
And we're going to face exactly.
The summary thought on that is that we don't need to contemplate a near-term rate increase, right?
Well, it's an option, I guess. Yeah.
We
We could contemplate.
We could sit here and say, what could we do with no rate increase?
Yeah.
What could we do with a rate increase of only CPI? Or what can we do mm-hmm. with the rate increase so that we then deal with the reserves using
right.
additional reserves?
Those are the kind of scenarios I was saying.
Those are the choices, and that's kind of what he said. We could look at various choices and then say which one do we want.
Evaluate then the risk of taking those one choice or the other.
By the way, we're going to have the same issue in the water plan because we have $4 million more in reserves, $6 million in reserves there, and we're going to have a CPI, I mean, we're going to have a CIP.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you know, we're going to be at a point where, it's prudent to spend that money on something. What are you saving it for if you don't spend it on
right.
something?
Right.
I want to be sure that you understand this $600,000 for lower level, while it may not happen in 2015,
yeah.
I'm showing the expenditure is offset by the loan proceeds.
Yeah,
so that's not having any impact on your
right, that's
bottom
going
line.
That's going in the debt
it's
service.
Plus and minus
right.
Same year.
You've got it both here
yeah.
in 2015 yeah. twice.
Because you're just okay. figuring the full Public Works Trust Fund loan being taken and financed out.
Yes.
Yeah.
That all the money to do that project would come from
right.
loan proceeds.
Right.
So by delaying it, it doesn't leave more in reserves. But we're not planning on spending reserves for that.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is not.
So that wouldn't be one of the projects we could play with. And then, I mean, projects that you could look at would be, obviously, the big one is the outfall. Do we really have to do it, and when? I think.
And how long would that take?
How long would it take to get permitted and designed and everything else?
So
we need more clarity on that. There is some discussion about
it. Yeah, I mean, it's all based on
more money than right now, though.
So what's that? Oh, I know.
That's another thing to think about.
So this new debt for CIP is blank as a line item?
Yes, because this scenario is pay-as-you-go, so no new debt.
Including the repayment of the
public
works.
The repayment of the public work is existing debt.
And
it's included in that existing debt, that 1.3 million.
So what she's saying, really, this is pay as you go. The main project here is the outfall, which is 2.6 million. The other option was to finance that project and put that in debt service, and that's really the two scenarios you ran, right?
Yeah.
So
and that would be a different table. That
right. Yeah. It's not this table. It's the financing. But take the incremental debt service for that outfall, or we could spend $2.5 million and do it out.
Well, right, yeah. It seems to me, as we're kind of at the end here...
Ready reserves?
Yes.
Well, that's
probably not. There are two questions in my mind. One is the chart, table 10.6 is the CIP. That's what you said.
Yeah.
The question is, do we want to do those in the next 6 years? Those are the projects that drive then
right.
the financial plan, which is 10-10.
And the big one is
the 2.6 right there,
which,
as you said, you could almost do that out of reserves.
Well, yeah.
Now,
good.
So it seems to me that we ought to talk about this
right.
at our next meeting, and maybe one of them can be on the phone or something.
Well, I think we need to hash out
right.
first what we would like to look at,
yeah.
kind of what information options we might think want to consider, and then I can talk with them about
what they've been doing.
What they might be able to do to flesh out the scenarios. But I don't think they want to. Best use of their time is us to come.
Listen to us.
This has been terrific. But I would, if we ought to have the next one. Everybody can go read this now that we've had this summary. It makes the reading much more understandable. But it just seems to me that's the question. Then we can talk about what you guys want them to do and
right.
how long it will take and how much it will cost and what alternatives are that. Is that all right with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Yeah, what questions do you have? Help us.
You got a lot of yellow stickies.
I got a lot of yellow stickies.
We love to see plans with stickies on them. Somebody actually looks
at
them. Are they looking at them?
Well, now I can go back and I'll understand what the sticky was. Much of it is, what is it? Read that again.
I've got more than
100. Andy, how long have you had this notebook?
Since Monday. Right?
I know, it's impressive, isn't it?
We posted electronically, and then Roz
said they would be available on Monday. I saw that.
And so they put them in these envelopes and stuck them outside City Hall to be picked up.
I see.
Some people picked them up. And
yeah, gotcha.
Some people didn't pick them up.
Yeah.
Some people didn't pick them up.
I picked them up, but I didn't get all the way through. But I did look at the introduction and understand what all the things we were going to discuss. Yeah, so hopefully we'll explain that.
But what I did actually is I got these things and I just went through and put sticky so that I look like I'd done it.
So at least for the short-term plan, that's really not growth-driven.
There's some growth.
I mean, it seems to me that factor depends on what really we're really experiencing growth that's going to drive that part of the plan.
Well, it's really
the things, though, that are... that will be the first things affected by growth, really. So we're, you know, if you look at the picture, the capacity of the treatment plan is fine for this point in time. What's the first processes, the first pieces that are going to start to fail under new growth? When's growth going to first hit? Mm-hmm. To get those ahead of the growth is what those are.
Yeah, here's the CIP they're suggesting. That's what
the alpha extension is not really growth related at all. That's a compliance related thing.
And what's the deadline for compliance?
That's a little bit uncertain. We're not under any kind of enforcement order or anything like that. I'm not totally clear on when we have to do it.
And is lower level in basically the same shape as the beach?
Well, we assume, but it hasn't had the breaks because it's gravity. It's not, of course, the ones we replaced were force mains, so those are pressure lines. These are gravity.
What other questions do
you have? So should they break, it'll be a smaller mess.
Well, yes.
Yeah. These are good.
But the funding is there.
Yeah.
For that.
But the funding is there.
If that's an opportunity that's presented itself to the city, that would be fantastic to be able to take advantage of.
It has to happen, so. Yeah. That's I think the political outcry would be big.
Other questions? Okay, so Robert, we'll give you a chance to comment if you'd like or ask a question. But so the plan is that we'll all read this. We'll come back at our next meeting, which is January something.
12th, I think.
January 12th. With the idea of coming back and saying, what more do we want the consultants to provide to us? And we'll talk about all that, and then Barry can give us some guidance and ideas as to how we get that or not get that or what it means. And then we can go from there. Hopefully in the end here, in the next couple of a month or two, I hope, we can then have something that we can recommend to the council. Here's what ought to be this plan.
Right.
And my bet is that knowing what we have done, they'll probably follow.
Well, we start at a point like we don't want to raise rates for the next 2 years, and then we figure out how to do it.
Or whatever, yeah. We're going to say, exactly. Could you, by the way, because we'll always ask, can we do comparisons? I didn't see Paulsbow and Bremerton on the list. I saw Fort Orchard.
I have done it.
It's just because they're in Kitsap County and people ask.
I have that, yes. In fact, that was in the original. And then we replaced it with the ones that are your similar size.
Well, I understand that, but we ought to at least have it. Even if we don't may not even need it in here. And I even like to know Sewer District 7. I'd like to know what their rates are compared to.
Cheap.
I know you're dirt cheap, but that's okay. But
yeah.
And they're dirt cheap because they have a higher density on it.
I don't know. Why are they so cheap?
Well, they've got.
I think that
we're not planning for the future.
Haven't you paid off the loan? You paid off that loan, right? Not the loan. Yeah, I don't think there's much debt service out there.
But that was part of when South Island came in, that they paid cash to the sewer district for that South Island.
The expansion, not the actual bill.
But the
actual bill.
Correct.
So the Southland system was built by an LID that the citizens who live there are repaying the city.
So there's some cost with that.
There's cost with that.
Yes.
So that
and they're bearing that.
The,
and it's
so
still
you need to add that in.
Okay. 10 years or more, I think, left.
I
did you say it was $50 a month for their service?
I don't remember, but I do know when you go on their website, that's the very first thing they brag about is that they're lower than the city of...
Exactly.
Yeah, the rates are the same there. They may be talking about them this year when I talk to them.
It used to be a $35 a month flat rate.
No, I think it's higher than that.
So I think it's 50.
I don't know who's going to have that.
But they really don't have a...
We should have that.
You know, they don't have a collection system. You know, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
There's no... Not much there, so.
Okay, other comments or comments?
So your only recommendations regarding future hydraulic modeling at this time are with the plant itself and its ability?
Yeah, right now, well, our recommendation as far as modeling of the ongoing modeling of the collection system, we've used an off-the-shelf piece of software. So for the collection system, we would recommend that you put a consultant, any consultant as far as I'm concerned, on an annual stipend, and then update the model as you build a new system. It may not have to be done every year, but maybe every couple of years you go in, you bring the new information in there, whatever you have, and you keep the model up to date. You don't have enough modeling to do here in the city that you'd have some of your staff doing it, and even if they did do it periodically, they lose their training. The treatment plant modeling is a little bit different. You actually go through the hydraulics of the treatment plant, looking at flow restrictions, overflow rates, weir capacity, all of that through the treatment plant, and make sure that it's not going to pop out of the treatment plant under some flow conditions because you have a screen there or a gate that doesn't open as where you thought it was going to open, those types of things. So it's not a big expenditure to do a hydraulic develop a hydraulic model of your treatment plant. I like doing actual full-scale testing as well. If you can do it on certain processes that are problematic, you may not need to do that, but sometimes that's helpful. Nothing like running water through it to find out where it's going to come out.
Other questions? Thanks. Okay, public comment.
I'd like to make a couple of questions. First one is for Katie. When you were in this room a couple of years ago working on the water system, I was amazed at your analysis. The city was paying 9.6 people for FTEs in the water system, and you said it could be done for 3.9 FTEs. This is not a competitive environment here, but did you, when I we're paying about 8.5 FTEs to run the sewer system, is that reasonable? Because it takes three people to actually operate the plant, and of course there's people outside that have to do the other things. But are operating expenses, salaries, and benefits in line with other plants of this size?
The scope of work under this was very different than the scope of work
under the
water utility analysis. I did not look at any of that.
Because the operating expense was the biggest thing in the annual expenses. So.
And that contract was very different.
Yeah.
There was an operations expert who, and we looked at it from many different ways. Here is just how to pay for the recommendations.
This is just, you did nothing with the cities. You did nothing to analyze the operations as far as personal results.
I looked at them, I summarized them.
I read the summary.
Yeah.
Second point, a lot of this seems, I'm amazed at the amount of rainwater that gets onto this system. I'm just stunned. If my math is correct, you're projecting about a 60% growth in the sewer area, population growth or density growth, over to 2035. If I take the flows now, which I think is about 750,000 gallons a day or something like that of actual sewage and dry, and multiply that out, I get a little more than 1.2 million, maybe somewhere in that neighborhood of actual sewage flow. But you project 4.2 million flow through the plant in So is that 3 million gallons a day of rainwater going into this thing?
And that's not a very big peaking factor, quite honestly.
Where is it coming from? I mean, you know, that almost sounds like it's a combined storm and sewer system, and we don't have one of those. So I'm just stunned. You know, is that coming from houses, or is it leaking pipes? You know, if it leaks out when the water level is low, then that means sewage is going to be leaking out of that pipe if it's a forced main, if you got low water level. This just doesn't add up to me.
If it were a combined system, the peaks would be 20, 30 times. Your dry weather flow would be much higher. So the number you have is actually a fairly low number in terms of peak to max month or peak to average dry weather compared to a lot of communities with older systems. You know, I would guess that, like I said before, I would guess that a certain amount of that is coming in the laterals. They tend not to be as well maintained. Maybe not as well constructed. And you may have some connections to your system that shouldn't be there. That happens sometimes if you don't have a storm drain in near a particular development, the drainage is going to run onto a neighbor's piece of property, maybe not so much recently, but I think it was fairly often 20 or 30 years ago that, oh geez, let's just hook that up to the sanitary sewer because we don't have another pipe nearby. Nobody wants to build the pipe, and we don't want to pay for it, so that happens too. So, you know, it's probably a combination of things, but you do have, no question, you have, just based on not even modeling, but just measuring the flow at the treatment plant, you have rainwater, groundwater coming into your system. And the numbers you have are not surprising for anybody that's been in this business. In fact, they're pretty low.
So again, 2 to 3 times as much groundwater coming in than we have sewage.
Yep. And that's why low-flow toilets don't really help you. And
but that's only for the peak during the rain event that you have to design around. It's not constant.
But that's like 1 hour or something.
Yeah.
Well, peak event is what I'm...
You have to design around the peak event. Though.
Can you make... we're in an earthquake zone. Can you make any recommendation on the type of pipe that we should be using in this system that would, A, prevent... I and two might be the best, pipe for a earthquake zone area.
Probably some type of plastic pipe would be best. You have some flexibility at each joint, so HDPE would probably do pretty well. There's certain things that you just can't. I mean, you can't take your pipes and. The biggest issue that you potentially could have is not just the shaking, but it's liquefaction of the soils in certain areas, things like that. And the only way really to deal with catastrophic failure of the system is to, you know, put them on piles, and then it just gets astronomically expensive. So I think you're, I was in the Bay Area, actually in San Francisco during the Loma Prieta earthquake, the one that happened during the World Series. I happened to be there with some, because it was at WEF, our big convention, I happened to be there with a bunch of treatment plant operators, and first thing we did is we drove to their treatment plant to make sure that that big earthquake hadn't caused a lot of structural damage at the treatment plant. It was surprising that damage to the treatment plant was fairly minimal. You know, they fiberglass baffles broke, a lot of cracks in walls, things like that, but no catastrophic failure of tanks. And the collection system damage was less, mostly because most pipes have a fair amount of flexibility to allow for differential settling, things like that, built into, they have fairly short pipe segments on a lot of them. There's flexibility at the joints, flexibility where they connect the mantle, so they tend not to, rip apart. So.
All right. Thank you very much for staying over time, but we have our guests here, and we want to make sure we get everything we can out of them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
January 12th, huh?
Yes.
All right.